Trail of the Hawk by Sinclair Lewis. Section 1, Chapter 1. The Adventure of Youth. Carl Ericson was being naughty. Probably no boy in Jor Lemon was being naughtier that October Saturday afternoon. He had not half finished the woodpiling, which was his punishment for having chased the family rooster 13 times squawking around the chicken yard while playing soldiers with Benny Rusk. He stood in the middle of the musty woodshed, pessimistically kicking at the scattered wood. His face was stern, as became a man of eight who was a soldier of fortune, famed from the front gate to the chicken yard. An unromantic film of dirt hid the fact that his Scandinavian cheeks were like cream-colored silk stained with rose petals. A baby Norseman, with only an average boy's prettiness, yet with the whiteness and slenderness of a girl's little finger. A backyard boy, a baggy jacket and trousers, gingham blouse and cap, whose lining oozed back over his ash-blonde hair, which was tangled now like trampled grass, with a tiny chip riding grotesquely on one flossy lock. The darkness of the shed displeased Carl. The whole basic conception of work bored him. The sticks of wood were personal enemies to which he gave insulting names. He had always admired the hard bark and metallic resonance of the ironwood, but he hated the poplar. Popple, it is called in Jor Lemon, Minnesota. Poplar becomes dry and dusty, and the bark turns to a monstrously mottled and evil greenish-white. Carl announced to one popper stick, "I could lick you." "I'm a general, I am." The stick made no reply whatever, and he contemptuously shied it out into the chickweed, which matted the grubby backyard. This necessitated his sneaking out and capturing it by stalking it from the rear, lest it rouse the Popple army. He loitered outside the shed, sniffing at the smoke from burning leaves, the scent of autumn and migration and wanderlust. He glanced down between houses to the reedy shore of Jor Lemon Lake. The surface of the water was smooth and tinted like a bluebell, save for one patch in the current where wavelets slipped with October madness in sparkles of diamond fire. Across the lake, woods sprinkled with gold dust and paprika broke the sweep of sparse yellow stubble, and a red barn was softly brilliant in the caressing sunlight and lively air of the Minnesota prairie. Over there was the Field of Valor, where grown-up men with shiny shotguns went hunting prairie chickens. The great world, leading clear to the Red River Valley in Canada. Three mallard ducks, with necks far out and wings beating hurriedly, shot over Carl's head. From far off, a gunshot floated, echoing through the forest hollows. In the waiting stillness sounded a rooster's crow, distant, magical. "I want to go hunting," mourned Carl, as he trailed back into the woodshed. It seemed darker than ever and smelled of moldy chips. He bounced like an enraged chipmunk, his phlegmatic china blue eyes filled with tears. "Won't pile no more wood," he declared. Naughty he undoubtedly was, but since he knew that his father, Oscar Ericson, the carpenter, all knuckles and patched overalls and bad temper, would probably whip him for rebellion, he may have acquired merit. He did not even look toward the house to see whether his mother was watching him. His farm-bred, worried, kindly, small, flat-chested, pinched-nosed, bleached, twangy-voiced, plucky Norwegian mother. He marched to the workshop and brought a collection of miscellaneous nails and screws out to the bare patch of earth in front of the chicken yard. They were the nail people, the most reckless band of mercenaries the world has ever known, led by General Doorhinge, who was somewhat inclined to collapse in the middle, but possessed of the unusual virtue of eyes in both ends of him. He had explored the deepest canyons of the woodshed and victoriously led his tenpenny warriors against the sumacs in the empty space beyond Irving Lamb's house. Carl marshaled the nail people, sticking them upright in the ground. After reasoning sternly with an intruding sparrow, thus did the dauntless General Doorhinge address them.
"Men, there's an awful big army against us, but let's die like men, my men. Forwards!"
As the veteran finished, a devastating fire of stones enfiladed the company, and one by one...